This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're back on the line. Okay, this the conference is going to be recorded, and I did this because a lot of people want to attend the teleconferences and in-person meetings, but they can't because of time constrictions, and also we have become an international group where I have people from all over the country and the world, and this is a way for us to connect with them, and this is the first time that I'm recording a conference like this, so bear with me with the technical part. I'm not really a technical person, but what I want to do is to actually have a dialogue with other highly sensitive people about the topic of discussion tonight is stress from a highly sensitive person point of view. And what I want to do is to actually have a dialogue, and I want to emphasize that this is, whether it be an in-person meeting, whether it be recorded call, I want it to be a safe, supportive, and non-hostile atmosphere.
Hi, this is Larry.
Okay, Larry, how are you? Okay,
how are you?
Good. We're on recording now, and we have other people on the line, and we're just getting started. And I was just mentioning that, we started the group in 2008. I really didn't know about meetup.com. A friend of mine told me about this. And a friend of mine said, okay, you got to see if there's a meetup group for highly sensitive people in your area. So I did. And when all is said and done, there were 26 people that were interested in the group, but they needed an organizer. So anyway, I talked to my friend again, and she said, you got to organize it. So anyway, I'm not really the organizing type of organizing other people for meetings and things like that. I really went above my comfort zone and decided I was going to organize the group. Okay, I organized the group. I emailed the 26 people that were interested in the group. And when all is said and done, not one person out of the 26 joined. So I thought that this was not going to be a good thing. Anyway, I kept at it. I reached out to other groups, and we currently have 200 members, and we're all over the country and all over the world, and it really tells me that there's really a need for other highly sensitive people to connect, because we are different, and it's something that we don't meet other highly sensitive people. People don't even know what a highly sensitive person is. Just want to give a short description of what it is. I went to a class about 4 years ago, and the title of the class was, Are You a Highly Sensitive Person? Okay, I always knew that I was a sensitive person, but I didn't know what highly sensitive person was exactly. So I went to the class, and I took a test. Elaine Aron wrote a book in 1996, and basically I answered most of the questions yes, so I knew that I was a highly sensitive person. Highly sensitive person is actually it's an inherited character trait, and we process and absorb more information than others physically and emotionally. Okay, physically we can take on, we might be sensitive to light, to noise, to other being around a lot of people. Also, we're very intuitive. We can take on other people's thoughts and actions, and we can actually be affected by it physically and emotionally. So I didn't realize this, as I said, until about 4 years ago, and it was really an eye-opener for me, because I always knew that I was different, but I didn't know what that difference was. And when I went to the class, I really started to think about what happened, when I was a kid, and I thought that I was going against the grain. I'm able to function well in society. I've been self-employed for 30 years in a service business, and when I went to the class, I asked the instructor how many highly sensitive people are there. So he mentioned that 20% of the world population is highly sensitive. So my next question was, well, how many people really know about it? And he said, very few. Okay, and the reason why I asked that question was because I've always been into self-help information I read books and went to seminars, and I was really trying to get answers for myself to find out what was wrong with me. I felt that there was something wrong with me because I just seemed to be affected by everything. So anyway, he mentioned that very few people really knew about this. And right away, you know, the bells and whistles went off in my head, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is my opportunity to really tell other people about it, because I've had writing aspirations for many years, and I didn't know what the focus was going to be. But when I went to the class, I'd say there was about 25 people in the class. Half of the people knew and half of the people didn't. I was one of the half that didn't know. The people that knew about this felt that they were cursed. They felt that this was such a terrible thing and that it was harder for them to get through life because of this. I didn't feel that way. I felt relieved knowing that there was a cause for the way I feel. And I really didn't feel that there was something wrong with me. I didn't feel flawed. I didn't feel that there's something wrong. And I just felt that this is very valuable information for me to take and to really make my life easier and to use my highly sensitive person characteristics to thrive rather than have this used as something that was going to hold me back. So when I thought about my writing, I felt that I was going to write a book about my experiences being a highly sensitive person. Okay, I felt very excited about the prospect of doing this, but then when you think about something, sometimes you get second thoughts and sometimes you get negative feelings about it. And I was trying to talk myself out of not doing the project because I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a regular guy. As I said, I've been self-employed in a service business, and my strong point is really writing, and that's something that I've really wanted to do. So I felt that I could combine my thirst for learning more about this and using my talent for writing and to actually write a book about it, which I did. And I started my own publishing company, and I started this group, Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle. I started that in 2008, and the reason why I started the circle was because it's very important that highly sensitive people connect. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but when my friend mentioned the meetup group, this was my opportunity to do that. This is going to be our 36th event, and we've done different kind of things. I've done teleseminars, teleconferences like this. And I plan to do more this coming year. Also, I've been on Twitter and Facebook, and you can look at the homepage at the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle. I have my Twitter information and my Facebook. You can connect with me that way. And my email address is cliff@thehighlysensitiveperson.com, and my website, that's also on the website, www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com. That's my website, and I have information on that. Things that are going to happen in 2010, I do want to do more in-person meetings. I do want to do more teleconferences and also seminars where I'm going to have handouts that are given out before the seminar, and also I'm going to have those recorded. Also, through Twitter, I was contacted by a lady. Her name is Elizabeth Ann Bach. And she does a show on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, I did a show with her on November 22nd. You can get the link to the whole interview. It turned out it was a 45-minute interview. That's on my homepage, or you can email me. I can send you the link on that. She said that it was her most highly attended show. And she wants to do a monthly segment with me this year. So I think we're going to do our first one. I think we're going to do it the third Thursday of the month. And I think the first one's going to be January 17th. I'll give you more information about that, you know, as we finalize the dates on that. Any questions, any thoughts?
How many people are on, Cliff? Online right now.
Excuse me?
How many people are in attendance right now?
Okay, there's going to be Okay, there's going to 32. Okay, 32 people signed up for it, and they might be coming on at different times because of, you know, time constraints, and also some people are calling from out of the country. So I don't know if they're going to be actually on the line, but they did sign up for it. And as I said, this we're recording right now, and I'm going to send the link to the recording, you know, a few days after this conference, and then this way they'll be able to hear it, and you can hear it again, to go through it. So it's going to be, as I said, 32 people are, you know, signed up for it, maybe more because I gave some more links, you know, to the call too. So I think there could be more. I would like to keep the sound unmuted because I really like to have a dialogue. But if there's static, I might have to put it on mute, and I'll tell you if I do. Any thoughts, any questions? I can go through some questions, or I can get to, you know, just basic information on stress. Any thoughts or any comments right now? Okay. What we'll do, go ahead.
Oh, I'd like to. I was just wondering how some other people might respond to this thought too. That I was curious how highly sensitive people are with their sleep patterns and reaction to stressful situations. I mean, we do have a tendency to take on more energy, and I'm therefore probably more stressed. And I was wondering if anyone else had some thoughts or insights on that.
Okay, so your question is, does anybody on the line have sleep problems because of excess stress?
And if they felt that being highly sensitive, like during the day, even other people might be having problems, and if you're laying there at night and you might be ruminating about, you know, things that even aren't even directly associated with you, but something that might, you know, disturb your sleep or, you know, thoughtfulness or
okay.
Things of that order.
Okay. Anyone have sleep issues?
I do.
Would you like to share your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I actually know, I mean, it's because of trauma that I have sleep issues. And I can only go to bed at certain times, that, you know, otherwise I'm in bed and wide awake. And then, it's kind of a different situation, I think, than, you know. It's quite related.
Okay, well, the thing is, because we do take in a lot of information, we do process a lot of thoughts, it can be, you know, an incident can, we, you know, somebody mentioned ruminating because that's something that I do. I personally don't have sleep issues, but unless I'm really upset, because I'm so exhausted after the day that I just conk out. So I don't have any problems with that. But I could see where people would have problems with it, and the fact that, you know, we think too much about things. And, you know, we might be, you know, does anybody have a problem getting to sleep because of noise or because of any atmospheric conditions that you experience?
I wouldn't even say noise so much. I just think that it's what's maybe left over from the day as a result of being overwhelmed. And this isn't constant. It's just maybe just overwhelmed overall. Noise and light and during the day, just being around a lot of people tends to, you know, make me more excited, and therefore it seems like after events like parties, even events that should be fun, I feel like overexcited,
right,
and more restless because of it. So I might be going over what transpired and during that time, and just kind of processing it and picking it apart.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I can understand that. Have you, okay, during the day, are there any techniques that you use that help you wind down a little bit?
I know of a few, and I do know that even sometimes you can go into the restroom and just take some deep breaths privately and try to meditate, but, you know, it sometimes theory doesn't always translate to practice, and, you know,
right.
I have to be more aware of that, you know, speaking for myself.
Okay, you know, we have to take a break. Like you mentioned, you just have to get away. But something that helps me if I find that I'm too wound up, I have to do something physical. You know, sometimes it might be just you know, getting up and just you know, I just have to get up and just move around. You know, if I can't sleep, there's different schools of thought of when you can't sleep. Okay, when I can't sleep, then you have to get up. Sometimes you just have to wait it out where you're just getting up, where you're just, you know, waiting until you fall asleep. But I need to get up and do something. That could be watching TV. That could be listening to music. That could be this is not a good thing to do, being on the computer, because computer can also be very stimulating. I also have something that I use. Aromatherapy is very good thing. And I use a product. Somebody from our group went to Seattle and mentioned an aromatherapy product, and it looks like a Vicks inhalator, and it has no stress, no nerves. And anyway, I try the product, and I use it. I actually keep it in the car, because when I travel, the traffic drives me crazy. Sometimes you just need something to take the edge off, and you just inhale it just for a little bit, and it does take the edge off. It's a product that I have on my it's no stress, no nerves. It's a product that I have on my website. You can take a look at that, but it's something that I use. Also, I find that drinking hot tea is a good thing. And
Cliff, what was the name of that? There's no stress, what?
It's no stress, no nerves. If you go to my website, it's www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com. You look at the product section, and it's right on my website. And it's a product, that's a product that I keep in my car, because it's just, you need something to take the tension off, and that was a good thing.
Because what happens in my situation is that I'm full of energy, and I'm running around at a fast pace all day.
Right.
And then when I get to drive, if I have to drive a distance for an hour, I get tired. I'm very tired while I'm driving. And I'm always fearful of falling asleep. You know, half the times, or not half, but there's some times there I really have to just pull over if I drive an hour and a half or so. It's, and I try to find something that would to eliminate that. And
It doesn't, you know, it just takes the edge off. You know, if you feel that, you know, you're overstressed, you know, of course it's smart that you pull over and, you know that you need to take that break. And that kind of breaks the tension too. And you really, you know, by acknowledging your emotional state, That really is a good thing, because you're better able to deal with it. Sometimes recognizing stress as an ongoing part of our life is the first step in dealing with it. Okay, you know, sometimes we just get to a point where we're so busy in activities and we're just running from one thing to another, we don't take the time to see where our stress is coming from, and we don't take steps to alleviate it. So just the recognition of it is something that's very important. Any other thoughts or comments about that?
I would totally agree with that. I mean, you know, when I can actually acknowledge what the problem is and, you know, just sit down with it, I mean, then it usually, for the most part, goes away. Not for everything, certainly, but...
Right.
For the more minor things in my life,
right?
You know, and it's, you know, the most helpful thing I can do for myself.
Right. You know, it's it's the thing is, because we're okay, because we okay, another characteristic of highly sensitive people is that we're very deep thinking. Okay,
uh-huh.
So we will think about our stress, which is good because we can come up with solutions. It can be bad if we're if we just constantly think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And you know, if like you know, you mentioned about sleep. If it's a chronic thing where you're having a problem with sleep, it's a good idea to maybe go for talk therapy. Sometimes you have to get to the source of where the stress is coming from. It might be a short-term thing where, as Pat mentioned, you might be going to you might be coming from a party and you're just overly wound up with just what went on. And, you know, maybe it might be wise just to, if you're coming home from a party, maybe you need to, maybe you shouldn't go to sleep right away. Maybe you just need to, if you know that you're going to be overwhelmed, then just, you need something to relax you. And, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, when I used to waitress, I mean, you know, you get so hyped up and working at night. I mean, there was no way you could go to sleep right away. I mean, not only me, but everybody else. And, you know, actually, you had to do that. You had to take a couple hours, you know, before.
Right. Well, what did you do to, okay, that's a good example. What did you do to unwind after your shift?
Well, I'd have a drink, you know, and be out with, you know, some of my friends from work.
Right.
And, you know, we'd either have a drink or go dancing or, you know, but it was a different kind of, you know, I mean, it was so stressful at work because it was so intense, you know,
right.
It was a very busy place where we worked. So it was just, you know, just kind of like downtime, you know.
Okay. So you talked to other people, you went out, you did another activity.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are things that, you know, we have to think about. You know, we have to have a strategy for dealing with stress, for dealing with different kinds of things in our life. And sometimes, you know, you just go through life and you don't think about it. You just go through your life and not think about the remedy to cause less stress. Okay, and, you know, this call, I really want to emphasize that we all have, because we're highly sensitive people, we do have a lot in common, more so than you think. And we're going to share stories, we're going to share experiences, and we can all relate. You know, I have some questions that people sent me, emailed me, and, you know, we can all relate to the experiences that we have, okay? And when we realize that we're not alone, it makes things a lot easier, okay? And, you know, talking to other people, you know, sometimes we just have to we might have to go for therapy. We might have to do things, you know, maybe have better nutritional habits. That's another thing. Sometimes if we don't have good nutritional habits, we can have sleep problems, and also it'll cause other problems because it interferes, you know, the poor eating habits interferes with our ability to respond to stressful situations. Okay, something that's very important for me and also for highly sensitive people, hunger affects highly sensitive people more than others. Okay, I didn't realize this until I actually did, you know, research on this, but sometimes I get to a certain point where I get so hungry, I just can't think straight. Okay, and, you know, if you get hungry, you can have a loss of concentration, it can decrease blood sugar levels that, you know, you're just having poor stress responses, and you're not thinking clearly. Yes.
May I say something?
Sure.
This is Martha. I have hypoglycemia, so I can really identify to that because I have to eat 6 times a day, and if I don't keep up and have a good food plan and eat, I can get weak and shaky the whole bit. And I experience a great deal of stress in my life anyway, and that's all I don't need. So regular eating is very important.
Okay, regular eating is very important. That's part of the self-care that we have to give ourselves. Because if you know that about yourself and you learn more about, you know, characteristics of highly sensitive people, you're going to be able to plan a strategy to really work with your life rather than working against your life. Okay, when I didn't know about being a highly sensitive person, I felt that I was working against the grain of life. You know, I didn't take the time that I needed to rest. I just felt very stressed. I mean, the biggest cause of my stress is really other people. It's really kind of ironic because, you know, I deal with people a lot, but I'm learning to pick and choose the kind of people that I'm around.
Me too.
And that's something that, you know, if sometimes we can become overly stressed out by being around people that aren't good for us. And being intuitive, I think it's something if we use our natural intuition, we'll be able to be around people that are better for us, be around more positive people. Okay, we're going to seek people that are, we're not going to be in relationships that are going to be bad for us. Okay, so that's what I said. The more information you have about this, the more you learn from other people, the more you're going to be able to deal with your own personal stress. Another thing that I'd like to mention, too, about stress is really an inside thing rather than an outside thing. Okay, it's the way we react to different stresses. Okay, being a highly sensitive person, to be stressed out is not just a highly sensitive person thing, although we do process more information, but it's the way we react to stress. And that's where the strategy comes in. Martha, you mentioned about your strategy for eating. You have to eat 6 times a day. Okay, this is good that you know about yourself. So this way you can plan for it. Any other stresses that, anybody want to mention any stresses that they have?
Well, Cliff, before the program, I mentioned to you that my daughter has been missing. She's been missing for over 13 years, and that you know, and it's an open case with the police. And of course, that's an ongoing thing with a lot of stuff, you know. So.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, it's first of all, you know, I hope that we can come, you know, that you'll be able to get some answers soon.
I hope so.
But in the meantime. You have to move on with your life. Okay, it's something I know that you think about. But
I do. I have a great deal of support, and I have groups and individuals, and I've been in therapy for ages, so I do all the stuff, you know.
Okay, well, this is support is very important. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I actually, you know, started this meetup group, because we do need support. It's not that there's anything wrong with us. But it's good to talk to other people about things. It's good to vent your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you try to work your problem, okay, another characteristic of highly sensitive people, we feel that we can solve the world's problems. Okay, people come to us to solve problems. Is that true?
Yes. I'm a recovering codependent. I'm throwing that in.
Okay, well, we're very good people to come to for advice.
Yes.
Okay, so meanwhile, you know, we seem to have the best advice for other people rather than for ourselves.
Right.
Okay, and that's why it's good to talk to other highly sensitive people, because we can talk about things that we have a lot in common with. Any other thoughts or questions? I can get into some questions or more information about stress if you'd like. But any other thoughts or questions at this time?
Well, Cliff, I know in the past, well, there are situations where if maybe during multitasking or a lot of things are coming at you at the same time, or
right.
And maybe even during that time when you are taking on a lot of things, if you're being questioned about stress, I have a tendency to just my mind just goes blank.
Right. No.
And it seems. Does that happen to you too?
Yes. Anybody comments on it?
Oh. Yeah. It's just like an overloaded electrical circuit and just kind of blow a fuse temporarily.
Right. I definitely have that. Anybody else have that situation?
I have that.
It's definitely so. That's a very good analogy. I said, you know, sometimes our circuits get overloaded. I have a question. Why do we feel that we have to give an answer right away? If somebody asks us a question, why do we feel that we have to come back with an answer right away?
Sometimes I think it's almost a question of credibility. I feel like if I'm taking too long with an answer, people might not, take it too seriously. That's not all the time, but, I just feel like a ready answer is probably a more truthful one. I mean, from my own.
Okay. Well, you know what? You know what I've learned? First of all, I can give better answers when I can think about something or if I prepare for something. And if I don't know an answer, what I'll do, I just take the time to think. I said, I really have to give it some thought. And I think that if we can just give ourselves permission to take the time that we need and not apologize for it. See, that's another thing. If we know that we need the time to think about something, why can't we just say, I really like to think about it? Okay, we can tell that person, we can say that to another person without feeling guilty about it.
Can I say,
sure,
something?
Sure, please.
I mean, if I'm not feeling stressed, I can say that, but if I'm feeling stressed, I'll blank out and I can't even think to say that. So.
Okay, but you know what? But just by talking about it, and just by hearing it, the next time it comes up, you're gonna better be able to do it.
No, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, and that's part of the strategy. That's part of the strategy because I definitely have those feelings. I'm sure everybody that's listening to the call, I'm sure that they have the situation. Okay, when we feel confident about ourselves, the best way to feel confident about yourself is to know yourself well. Okay, when you know yourself well, then you don't have to give excuses for your behavior.
That is right. So true, Cliff. That is so true.
Okay, and that's what we want to learn from each other. And that's the purpose of the group. That's the purpose of talking about this. And I think a big part of it is we don't have to be ashamed of who we are. That's a very simple statement. But sometimes we think that because we're highly sensitive, in some way we feel that we're inferior to others. And that's just not the case. We're not. We're different. And different is not a bad thing.
Yes.
It isn't a bad thing, and it's a matter of the strategy, dealing with different situations. That's why, I want to have general conversations like this about stress. I am going to have seminars about this where you're going to have handouts. And as I said, between talking, between looking at the handout ahead of, after the fact, because I go to different seminars, and we all have different ways of learning, but being the highly sensitive person I am, especially if I'm in a group of people, I could only take in so much. Sometimes it could be information overload by going to a two-hour seminar. And what I tried to do is, the way I wrote my book is the way I speak, and also the way I learn, because I didn't want it to be complicated. I wanted it to be simple. I didn't want it to be cluttered information, and I wanted it to be information that can be seen and looked at a person's pace. Okay, and we have to know what our pace is, but also we have to, as I said before, we don't have to apologize for what we need. Any other thoughts?
I think highly sensitive people are people pleasers in general.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
Definitely.
We are. Okay. That's a good thing, isn't it?
No.
No, up to a point.
No, well, okay, well, it's true.
No, not too healthy if it goes too far, no.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the point. It's good, you know, it's good that we'd like to please people, which is good, but there's no reason why we shouldn't please other people for the sake of our own pleasure. Okay, and that's where we have to know our boundaries.
Cliff, can I say that I wouldn't agree that we're people pleasers. I think that we're more solution oriented, and so we're always trying to find something that's workable. I run into a problem where I know I can sit in a conference full of people and my thought process is totally different. They're going A, I'm thinking B. I've already gotten to the finish line of what they're trying to get to in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
So by the time they get to it, I'm like ready to just burst out the room. I can't take it anymore. Why is it taking them so long to see this?
Okay, that's a very good point. We're able to see the big picture. And sometimes, see, we have to be, that's another thing, too. I'm not saying that highly sensitive people are better than the average person, but it's a very common, I could tell you this, that sometimes we're not tolerant of other people. We expect people to be like us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very stressful. That's very stressful in the fact that we are different from others, and we can get very frustrated by seeing that people don't think the way we do. Okay, now we have to realize that people are that we are different, and I think maybe we need to be more tolerant for our own self-preservation, and also for the preservation of the relationships that we have. Can you give me any examples of something that, you know, of the experience that you mentioned?
Well, I manage a day spa.
Okay.
This has been the wellness industry has been my industry for like the last 25 years, and we just opened up a new location in Berkeley Heights in February.
Okay.
We meet weekly, all the department heads, and, you know, discuss the problems at hand. And for me, in March, I was able to pick up and say, you know what, our staff is incredibly unhappy, and this is going to boomerang on us. It's going to affect customer relations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, every meeting from March to July was about the cleanliness of the club. And I keep emphasizing our staff is very unhappy. They're talking to me.
Right.
You know, they're telling me that this is what's going on. Nobody listens. And then in August, big fallout, you know.
Okay.
And so I'm always kind of feeling like I told you so. Not in a mocking kind of way,
no.
But just always kind of feeling like, geez, listen, guys, you know, I have my ear to the ground here. I'm telling you this is what's going on. And, you know, nobody is listening. And I can tell you that all of my life I've kind of felt like, nobody is listening, you know, when I'm able to pinpoint things and say these things. So I stop saying them. I have a select group of people that, you know, through experience with me have become like my support people.
Right.
And I can say these things too,
right.
You know, in a sacred space, so to speak. But other than that, I just keep quiet. And it's stressful to me to watch it unfold because
right.
I always feel like it didn't have to be that way.
Okay. Why do you think that you gave a very valid reason that, you know, the staff is not happy. Why didn't they take your suggestions?
Because I'm the odd duck.
Okay.
You know, and in a group of 13, 14 DHs, I'm the odd duck.
Okay.
And it's quite apparent because I can't take the noise of group lunches and the bars and the smoke. I kind of isolate myself. I kind of know what I need, how I can deal with it, and give it to myself in bits and pieces. So I stand out as the odd duck. I don't necessarily fit in the clique.
Okay.
I never have, and
okay.
I don't have the desire. I'm fine with that.
what do you think? Well, you know, the thing is, what do you think would be a better environment for yourself? It sounds, it sounds like you're in a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm always the square peg in the round hole, so I've gotten used to that, so to speak. You know, when I'm in my element, I'm in the spa, I'm fine.
Okay.
But the spa's located in a huge wellness facility with a cafe and a Pilates studio and a yoga studio. So when I come out of the spa, I have to mingle.
Okay.
You know, and I'll tell you the other thing, too, which is funny for me. I can be on all day with my clients, customers, but I look forward to my hour and a half drive home to unwind.
Right.
I need that.
How do you unwind? Okay, how do you unwind in the car?
I listen to no music or very classical music.
Okay.
And I just process the day slowly, and I breathe. I'm not in a rush.
Okay.
I know I'm going to get there, and I need that time. And sometimes I'm even sitting in front of my building in the car doing absolutely nothing just because I'm not ready to now go upstairs and then deal with, because I have a family at home.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have children, so I have to also be, you know, on point to them, homework,
right.
You know.
First of all, it sounds like different parts of your job are satisfying in some way.
Yes.
Now, the management part of it is a pain for you, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
All of that, overwhelmed, totally.
Okay, working in the spa is your sanctuary, is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. How about, just a thought, how about just getting out of the management part and just focusing on what you like best? Is that
my last day is the 23rd of December.
Here we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I tried it for a year, and I realized that it's just too much. And I'm not even going to stay there. Because you mentioned something earlier where you said other people are your stress.
Right.
Well, if you've ever worked with stylists before, they're a bundle. Hairstylists. They're a whole different breed of people as well. And I can tell you the amount of drama that goes on there with them has, when they're not there, the minute they walk through the door, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, you know what? This is a very good example. Here we go. You were... You know, first of all, stress is a big part in the job, and sometimes highly sensitive people are not. It's very common that highly sensitive people are not in the right job, regardless of what they do. Okay, so what you did, you basically took what you liked and left the part that you didn't like. Okay, now you probably made the decision when it became too unbearable. Correct?
Exactly right.
Okay, now this is a question for the group. Okay, why do we have to be at a point of misery that we make a change for something that would be better?
I can say for me, I've always been a workaholic. I've always liked to finish on top. I've never failed.
Right.
So there's a lot of stress that I put myself under as well. And so to leave in the beginning, because I knew this in July.
Okay.
This is not going to work. But I wanted to stick it out and give it I thought I was sticking it out and giving it a fair shot. Let me try it this way. Let me try it this way. Let me try it this way. I owe it to my staff not to, you know, let me see what happens.
Right.
And
okay.
I actually spoke to my general manager and told him, by the end of the year, if I don't feel better about this, if I haven't been able to embrace it in its totality the way, you know, what your expectations are, that's the management part, the paperwork, then I will walk away.
Okay.
So he actually, he knew it was coming. He wasn't surprised.
Okay, but you know what? The key to it is you made a conscious choice that this wasn't working for you in one way or the other, that you were going to try it, you were going to give it your best shot, and you gave yourself a deadline to, if it didn't work by the end of the year, you said you're going to make a change. So this is good. This is very good strategy. Okay. Now looking back on it, did you stay longer than you should have, or did you give it enough time to see if it would work?
I think I stayed longer than I, because right now it's stressful to go in, knowing that, you know, my last day is Tuesday. It is just, yesterday I could not even, I couldn't take the announcements. I couldn't take the music that was playing. I couldn't take the light in the,
right.
You know, so, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think that I stayed maybe a little bit longer than I should have. Absolutely.
Okay. So I guess the lesson to all of us is, if something isn't working, you know, we shouldn't take that time. Maybe we need to make the change sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's something that you've learned, and that's something that you're going on. What kind of new thing are you starting?
I also teach yoga therapy to children with autism.
Okay.
And I've been doing that at the same time, so I'm just going to finish out my contracts there. And then, you know, just continue, you know, I'll see what opens up. I'm open, you know.
How do you feel about that?
Excited, very excited.
There you go. Well, you should be. You should be. And I give you a lot of credit for having the courage to make the change that you needed to make. Okay, that's very hard for all of us. You know, not being a highly sensitive person or not, it's not easy to make a change for the better. Okay, and you had the courage to do that, so I applaud you for that. And thank you for the story, because that's a good lesson for all of us. Any other stories that we could share? Because this is something we could all learn from. Okay, I'm going to get into some questions. If nobody has any other comments, I'm going to just get into some questions. Any questions right now? Because I can get into some questions that, you know, some people email me some questions. We can get into that if you want.
That sounds good.
Okay. Okay, here's a question we got. I'm curious about what tips anyone would have in terms of dealing with stress when all senses and systems are overloaded. I'm always sick. I think a good part of it is because I'm always stressed out. I don't handle it well. I know I need to do things like exercise, but then trying to make the time to do the exercise stresses me more. So I guess I'm looking for confirmation that I'm not alone in feeling like my brain itself goes haywire when too much is happening at once. I think that we can give her the confirmation, don't you think?
I will give the confirmation. I'm Martha. That's the way I feel.
Okay.
I get overstimulated, overloaded, and I, you know, I know that I should do more exercise, and I'm going to put more in. But the meditation for me, listening to a tape, you know, that's the type of thing, because I'm a go, go, go type, and everybody knows that about me, and I just, you know, and I'm very involved with so many activities and people. I'm very social, and I'm active with everything, and it's just, I get so, like, strung out, you know.
Right.
And I really need to come down, you know, so much of the time. I love life, and I'm very happy, even though I've had the tragedy that I mentioned before, but still, this go, go, go stuff, I do get so overstimulated and overwhelmed. So I would think meditation would be the number one thing. And when I do it, it does help.
Okay. Meditation is an excellent way to deal with stress. Also, I mentioned before, you know, talking to other people, talking to a therapist, talking to a friend, you know, talking to somebody at the gym, just by talking it out, it's a great stress reliever. Also, you know, participating in a hobby, or if you have some interest, that's a good way of meeting people. It's a good way of just breaking up the tension. Another thing is, you know, get more sleep. You know, most of us don't get enough sleep. And I find that the times that I'm the most stressed, I give in to my urge to sleep, but that's really a that's really a defense mechanism that serves me well, because I know that I need to sleep, and you know sometimes you can't because you feel you got to do this, that, and the other thing. But you know, you have to make sleep a priority. That's very important. Also, not dwelling on the source of the stress. You know, sometimes we could just think about something, ruminating about something. We're thinking more about it. We have to change our thought. Okay, easier said than done. It's easy to intellectualize some of these techniques, but when you really want to help yourself, you're going to incorporate more of these into your life, and that's very important. There's a second part, you know, just getting into the stress of it. I'm just getting into the question of it again. Okay. And it's important to realize, too, it's important to realize that we have the power to control our thoughts and emotions and actions. And that's very important whether we set a boundary for how we want to deal with people. And, you know, a big part of our stress is, you know, sometimes people try to get us to do things that we don't want to do. And we have the power to say no. And that's an ongoing learning experience with me. Okay? Self-care is something should be a priority for us. We tend to want to take care of other people, and we kind of leave the self-care by the wayside. Okay, and it really should be the other way around, because the more that we care for ourselves, the more ability we're going to have to help others. Any other thoughts or comments?
Oh, sorry. I don't want to dominate the conversation. I'm Martha again. But I identify with what you said, and I'm fortunate to have been a member of Al-Anon for 25 years. I don't know if all the folks know that Al-Anon is a worldwide organization for families of alcoholics and addicts. And everything you just said is what we grow in, the self-care and taking good care of ourselves, learning to love ourselves and accept ourselves. And that's what I liked, everything you just said.
Okay, but it's good that you're talking about it in a group, because it just has more impact when you're talking
to
others. Because we have a tendency... I have a tendency to try to solve my own problems and to try to, you know, do everything myself. It's not working for me. it just isn't working for me, and I need to expand my self-care and to do other things.
Oh, good.
Okay, I got a question from a lady, one of our members from Africa. She says, I live and work in Africa most of the time. Since learning that I'm HSP, I have become even more aware of how life in Africa is overwhelming for me nearly 100% of the time.
Wow.
Basically, I'm wondering how HSPs can live in such a high-noise, high-populated context where a lot of interaction is required for basic politeness without getting stressed out. There is so much you cannot control about life here. It's just the way it is. Last week, I observed myself twice how even half an hour of negotiating with a person, a friendly kind of tug of war, once for selling a car, once for renter's contract, left me completely exhausted and unable to accomplish much for the rest of the day. The question that she has is, how do others deal with stress of change when it is large or small? Okay, and in this particular case, you know, her environment is not conducive to her temperament.
Definitely not.
Okay, so it's a matter of, okay, can you change the atmosphere? Okay, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Okay, so the only thing if you can, the most obvious way is to, you know, change her environment. Okay, if you can't change your environment, you really have to change your perspective of how you deal with your environment. Okay, she mentioned, you know, dealing with people, you know, selling a car, a renter's contract, things like that. You know, sometimes we need to have other people help us with these things. If a task becomes overwhelming and it's something we don't feel comfortable with, well, there's help out there for that. Okay, why should we all feel compelled to handle everything ourselves? Okay, and if she lives in an area where 100% of the time there's noise, and you know the interaction is not good, well, you know, she can change the way she interacts with people. She doesn't. If people are rude, she doesn't have to take another person's rudeness. You know, sometimes we have to stand up for ourselves. Sometimes we just have to back away. Okay, that's part of the strategy of how we can deal with our lives. Anybody relate to anything, this question at all? Any thoughts about it?
Well, I guess, I'm up in Boston and it's freezing here.
Okay.
Not that the whole East Coast isn't cold, but it does tend to get quite cold, and I hate cold weather. And my son is just started college, and so I don't want to leave here until he's finished, and I'm just kind of dreading the next 4 years. But so, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've just really been trying to change my perspective on it, you know, like, you know, instead of just hating the cold, like trying to enjoy it more for, you know, it's here and it's not going to go away, so I'm going to try to make the most of it.
Okay. Have you thought about ways that you'd like to deal with it? Just like, you know, just some thoughts.
Well, I mean, some of the ways I've been dealing with it is just making sure that I have enough warm clothing at all times.
Okay.
Because I tend to be very, well, I am very thin. So it's, you know, just the, you know, being just clothed the right way, you know, layer upon layer, whatever I need to be warm. And that's
right.
Actually a huge part of helping it.
Okay.
I mean, it seems very minimal, but
okay,
it's helped
but,
a lot.
Okay, that's part of the strategy. Anybody have thoughts about how she can better deal with a cold?
I don't deal well with it either.
What do you do?
Well, I went to Florida for a week just up there.
Well, that helps.
Okay, so you know what? So you took a break.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you got back?
Well, it was awful because I came back to the 20s, and right now here in New Jersey, we have 16 degrees of wind chill, and I'm so much better, even with my sensitivity, when it's warm, and you know what I mean? I feel all pinched and tight and like I'm fighting. That's a stress. It's an additional stress.
I agree with you. I'm the exact same way. But I'm trying to deal with it.
Well, you and I have to go to Florida again.
Well, that's it.
Anytime.
any other warm weather strategies?
Well,
I wonder if because I also not a fan of the cold. I love it from the inside. I love the snow from inside of my window. I'm not willing to, you know, to get out there. And I can stand a little bit of it, but I also bundle up and make sure I have everything I need, make sure the car is warm. But is it an environmental thing? Are we affected by the environment this way? Because I love the outdoors. I love the water. These other ladies sound like they love the warm, you know, the warm weather as well. Are there any stats that say that HSPs desire to be, you know, in warmer climate or...
Okay,
that's a great question.
That is a very good question. Okay, you know what? Well, we are sensitive to hot and cold. Okay, I am personally, I am better, I like warmer weather better myself. Okay, I'm just in a better frame of mind when I'm outside.
Me too.
Me too.
In fact, it's really something. We had, you know, in the summertime, we had some outdoor activities. We went to the park. In fact, if you go to our webpage, if you go to the highly sensitive person, you know, page, you can see previous events that we did. And we ended up doing, you know, we did some outdoor events, and those were the most widely attended.
Wow.
And it was good because we had it in the park. One of our members is a gives tours at Spring Lake, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, beautiful town. And we really had a good time. And it was good because we were able to have discussions outdoors, and it was a very uplifting experience. So we can be more sensitive. I have more aches and pains in the cold than I do in the warmer weather.
Me too.
So, you know, we do have a sensitivity towards that. So I guess if we have a chance to go to Florida or a warmer climate, you know, once in a while, I think that's a good strategy to do that. But also you mentioned a very good point where, you know, you do use extra layers of clothing. Okay, when I'm outdoors, you know, I got to wear heavier socks. I have to wear a heavier coat. All right, maybe I shouldn't be outdoors as long as I was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's all a part of the strategy. But that's also, you know, you brought up a good point about we're being more sensitive to hot and cold.
Well, also, okay. I just fight it. You know, I just started to try to accept it.
Okay, you know what? That's a very important point, though. Why do we have to fight who we are?
Well, no, I was fighting the cold, not so much who I was.
But sometimes we fight it in the fact that we don't take the proper things that we need to do. Sometimes we feel
exactly.
We have to correct things.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I said, you know, then I started dressing and just,
yeah,
you know, kind of taking more care with the whole thing.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And the more you know about this, the more you're going to do these things. You're going to put on earmuffs. You're going to put on scarves. You're not going to go out when it's 10 degrees below zero.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, that's part of who we are. And that's not a bad thing. As I said, everybody's different, not just highly sensitive people. Everybody has their idiosyncrasies. And the thing is, we just have to know them, and we have to work with them rather than working against who we are and what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts? Any other experiences?
Well, the woman who wrote in the question talked about environmental issues too. But living in New Jersey, and I'm sure a good many of us know how populated it is here, and I think it's even more of an issue to find some kind of place as a sanctuary, even during the day on your lunch hour, or you just find a little place in the park. Or just recently at my age, and I'm 60, I just went kayaking this past year in the Pines, and I thought, my God, I could have been doing this a long way.
Right.
Why didn't I?
That's so great. Good for you.
See, that is, okay. Pat, what made you decide to kayak?
You know what? I've been feeling the need to get outdoors, and I had a friend that did that, and we, about five women, went out and just, I gave it a try, even though I have this fear of water a little bit. But it was one of the best experiences I think I ever had. I can't wait to buy a kayak.
There you go.
sometimes
we just have to be adventurous.
Yeah.
Okay,
and just out there, away from everything, just floating down the river in the Pines, and it was just so peaceful being in nature. And
sounds great.
Just really, yeah.
And you found it in New Jersey.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest it, as a matter of fact, for meetings. So.
Well, you know what? I'm open to that. That's another. You brought up a very good point. I'm open to anything that any interests that people have, because I like to incorporate these things in the in-person meetings. I live in central New Jersey, and as I said, we have members in different states, and you know, I'm really open to going to different areas to do different things. So any thoughts that you have, please email me, or you can mention on the message board. In fact, the message board for our group, that's another way to vent your feelings and to get feedback from other highly sensitive people. You know, you could just put a question or you could just put a thought. And it's nice that people will give you comments on different things. And it's another way of venting your feelings, another way of just confirming that you're not crazy. Because we do have a lot of things in common. But that's a very good point about the kayaking, and you had that need to get some peace. And especially, I know, I live in, you know, central New Jersey, and I know that it's not easy.
No, because, Cliff, this is the most densely populated state in the Union.
It is. Not to mention the most expensive. which is also very stressful in itself.
Does anybody suffer from the barometric pressure, you know, the change in the weather, like
yes.
a storm coming on, and you know it the day before, you get headaches?
Mm-hmm, yes.
I don't think so. I have seasonal affective disorder. I thought that's what you meant, the SAD. But I didn't have that. Why do you have that with the headaches?
Yeah, my daughter does, but there was some segment on Dr. Oz's show on Friday, and this they had this device that you look at this light, and it's not a UV type of light. It's handheld case that you open up, and this light, this bright light, that you put your face into it, and somehow it affects. I guess it replaces the sunlight that you need, and maybe if the weather affects you, this helps relieve the headaches. I don't know. But it's a high-powered light, and I don't know where you can buy it. I was looking all over for it, and I didn't know
Larry, I'll check into that, because that's something for, you know, Martha mentioned seasonal, it's called SAD, where it's a common situation, not just for highly sensitive people, but when the weather gets colder, there's not, you know, when people aren't out as much, they have this disorder where it's, you know, it's just like a sadness, and sometimes you kind of need the outdoor light to recharge your battery. So
it's because I stay indoors all the time working, and I recently had my blood tested and blood work done, and some tests come back, and it showed I had a deficiency of vitamin D because I was kind of lethargic, and you know I don't get out much because I'm working at the computer, and I started taking vitamin T capsules and noticed a real change. And now I have to make sure that I get out and get some sunlight because it really does affect you when you have a vitamin D deficiency.
Right.
How much
vitamin D are you taking a day?
1,200 milligrams.
1,200 milligrams?
Excuse me for saying so. Even though I'm a teacher, I'm also a student of nutrition. I take 2,000 units of D a day because I was tested. Even my doctor was tested low. So I would suggest that you be retested to make sure that you don't need more. It's so important.
Oh, it is. People don't realize, and particularly now in today's age, everybody is glued to
the computer.
TV or the computer, or
right.
They're indoors. They're not outdoors exercising.
Right.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned the computer. The computer can be very stressful. And
yeah, that's why I'm trying to find to help my daughter. And it's getting back to the high powered light. I thought that would help with her headaches because she gets them all the time. And
okay, I'm gonna check into that because that's something I think would definitely benefit all of us, because it's true that we need to get out more, and the vitamin D that you mentioned, that helps replenish what we get from the sun. Is that what you mentioned, Larry?
Yes, I believe that's what it's for. They didn't get it.
It is that.
Well, also, I mean, because I have osteoporosis and I have to take vitamin D, but
sure,
you know, if your vitamin D is really low, I mean, you know, even though you're a male, you might make sure you have your calcium is high enough too.
Right. Very good. They work together.
They go together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a good stress strategy to check your levels of vitamin D and calcium. because that could be a good part of our stress too.
And also another thing that helps is a lot of times if you get calcium with magnesium, magnesium is actually a natural relaxer.
Very good. My doctor actually tells her, because I am a headache patient, and so she tells all of us that we have to take the magnesium. It's a definite relaxer.
Yeah, and it's natural. It's not going to hurt you. It'll just go right through you. Take too much, but, you know, it really does help relax, you know, your body.
Okay, that's very good. That's very good information. I'll check about the light. I'll check about the vitamins, because that's important. That's very important.
May I say something, Cliff?
Sure.
To the gentleman whose daughter is having the headache problem, because, as I said, I've had this headache situation. Mine are much better because I take a medicine to prevent, but my own neurologist gets the headaches, and the doctors really do know now about the light therapy, so maybe if you would talk to your doctor, you could get help there too.
Light therapy. Okay. No, there's definitely something to that. I've been hearing more and more about that, and especially since we are in the season, we could probably use that.
Yes.
Okay. I do have some other questions. Any other thoughts or comments? Because I have a couple. I think I have a couple more questions that I'll check into. Okay. There's a question. How does everyone deal with running behind on schedule appointments and things to do?
I'm a wreck. I'm a wreck when I'm going to be late.
Also, whether it's recommended in dealing with negative thoughts of worrying about the past or future events. Okay, let's deal with the first one. The first one is scheduling appointments and things to do. Okay, I definitely do that every day. And the way that I deal with this is I really have to put deal in priorities. I can't overload myself with too many to-dos. Okay, I have to really prioritize my day. And if I can't get to something, I don't beat myself up because I didn't get to it. Okay, if I have an appointment, if I feel that I'm going to be late, or I'm really pressed for time, a stress reliever for me is the cell phone. Okay, I can call somebody and say, you know what? I can call them maybe 2 hours ahead of time and say, you know what? I'm really running late. Is that if it's a problem for you, we can reschedule. Okay, and you know what the response is? The response is that people thank me for calling them. Okay, so not only did I take the stress off of myself, but I showed respect to them where I respected their time and they thanked me for it. Any thoughts about dealing with overloading yourself?
Or things that come to you during the day and you may have things to do, and then you get more things that come unexpectedly and you feel committed to the ones you're working for, and then you try to answer the ones that are requesting from you during the day. So it's a blend of things. And I find myself sometimes where I'm working on something, I try to pack in up to the last minute and then leave, thinking I'm going to make it, and then I'm generally run behind, or show up late, and instead of stopping and saying, okay, don't try to complete that last task. You know, you're trying to get more done. Just get up and leave and go to your appointment.
Okay. Now, you just mentioned a very logical way of handling it. Do you listen to yourself?
Sure. I have to. I hear myself, but I don't reply.
Okay, you know what? We all are guilty of this. We are all guilty of this. You know what? We could say this is what we should do, but then when real life sets in, then we It's like, oh, we got to do it. Okay, you know what? Why don't we have a plan, and why don't we stick to it? How about that for a strategy?
Yeah.
Okay, because you're going to be more effective. First of all, you're not going to be driving yourself nuts. It's bad for your health. It's just bad all around. Okay, it's you're not being as effective as you would like to be. You're not giving the proper time to whoever you need to give the proper time to. You could take a step back, think about it, and then say, you know what? I'm just going to do one thing at a time. And I'll be more effective, and I'll be less stressed.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
You have to talk to yourself, tell yourself to slow down mentally with trying to brainstorm and do all the things in your mind.
Right.
And then trying to keep up with so many things and move at a fast pace. You just literally have to force yourself to be present in the moment.
Well, that's it. And why don't we, you brought up a very good point about pace. Know what your pace is and work within it.
Yeah.
Okay, we all have different ways of pacing ourselves. Some people can handle a million things at one time and be very effective. I can't. Okay, a lot of people on the call, highly sensitive people, can't. Okay, let's recognize that, and let's work with the capabilities, but also the resources what we have. Okay, why go against our physical and emotional capabilities? It doesn't make any sense. When we talk about this logically, it doesn't make any sense to do so, but when you're caught in the heat of battle, you're not thinking clearly.
Right.
Okay, so maybe a strategy would be, okay, when I'm not thinking clearly, okay, maybe I need to go outside and think about what I'm doing and maybe reprioritizing my day and just make calls to take the pressure off of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Any other thoughts or comments about that?
Well, instead of just going outside, I just try to, you know, say, I've got to stop this in my head. You know, when I see that it's just gotten way out of control.
Right.
And if I can do that, it really will help me, you know, just to reprioritize.
But that's it. And, you know, we have to do that. We have to do that for our own sanity.
Definitely.
Our own sanity. So that's what we have to think about. What's going to make sense for us, and what's going to keep us balanced? Okay, when we're too much into what we're doing, it's not a good thing. We need balance. Okay, uh-huh. We need to make changes in our lives that are going to be beneficial to us. Okay, we can't be afraid to change things, even though it's stressful to make the change.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
that's another question that we have. A question is, how do others deal with stress of change, whenever it's large or small? Okay, that's a big one. How about focusing on the benefit of what the change will bring you? Okay, is it a positive change? Is it a negative change?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know, if it's a positive change, okay, let's give ourselves more positive reasons to do something than not. Isn't it human nature to give ourselves more negative things why we can't do something?
Yeah.
Okay, it seems that we're all wired. This is not an HSP thing. This is, we're all negatively wired to give ourselves reasons not to do something that's beneficial to us.
Right.
Okay, I mean, when I wanted to write my book, okay, at first I was very excited about it because I really wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the negative self-talker in me says, you know what, you can't do this. You know, you've never written a book before. You're not a psychologist. You're not this, you're not that. who's going to listen to you. I mean, I gave myself more reasons not to do it. Okay? What really got me, how I was able to finish the book, was I had a strong desire to do it. And I came up with the answers that, okay, I'm writing this book from a personal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's unique. That's different. Okay? I can help a lot of people by sharing my experiences. Okay? And then I started to enumerate the positive things of why I should do this. And that's how I was able to do it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you want to start a new business, if you want to get into a new field of endeavor, you can. It's your desire if your desire is lacking, you're not going to do it. If the desire is really strong, you're going to get through the slings of arrows what goes on with a new enterprise. Or if you want to start a new job, if you want to go into a different field, if you want to stay in the same field but not be in management. I mean, we had, these are good experiences that we shared here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to know what we want.
Right.
I think that's 50% of our problem. We don't know what we are. We don't know what we want. We don't know who we are.
Right.
Okay.
No, I would definitely agree with you there. It's a really a huge, it is 50% of the problem.
It is, and it's a huge burden, especially for highly sensitive people, where we want meaning in our lives. It's really important for us to have meaning in our lives. Isn't that true?
Meaning. Okay. Yes, definitely. I just didn't hear what you said.
Okay. We definitely need to have more meaning in our lives, okay? We're deep thinking. We want our lives to make sense.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Other people can go through life and just go from one experience to another. You know, sometimes circumstances dictate certain things, okay? We can actually have an active part in our lives. And that's part of the benefits of being a highly sensitive person, where we're going to think about these things. We're going to look into these things. We're going to beat the bushes for information. Okay, we're going to seek the things that we want to learn about. Okay, so these are positive things about being a highly sensitive person. I want to emphasize that whether it be an in-person meeting or whether it be a phone conference like this, I want to emphasize the positive aspects of being highly sensitive. Okay, there are definitely downsides to everything. That's something we can discuss too. Okay, but I really believe that being highly sensitive is a good thing. The question is, the important thing is that we know about it. We understand it. We talk to other people about it. We share experiences. We share stories. Okay, in this way, we can all grow.
Uh-huh.
Any other thoughts? Any other questions? This is something that, maybe we might do an ongoing thing on stress, on things, maybe just to have general conversations about, different subjects. We can do that. Because I'd like to have once a month teleconferences like this. And if you have any thoughts about any subjects you'd like to talk about, any thoughts that you have, please email me and we can incorporate these. We can incorporate this in the calls.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And another important thing is after this conference is over, you're going to be receiving an email from Meetup to rate the conference. Okay. People look at that. Some people are kind of hesitant to attend a live meeting or a teleconference or a teleseminar. And when they see the comments that are made by other people, hopefully it's going to encourage them to come to these things and to participate in this. And as I said, I have a lot of people from England, Africa, all over the place that are going to be listening to this conference. Okay, so this is our way. Maybe I might do teleconferences at different times to accommodate these people. I'll have to figure out the time differences. Okay, but I want this group to be interactive in the fact that I want to know what you're thinking about, what you want to learn more about, what kind of activities that you want to do. Okay, because it's important. It's important that we socialize, and sometimes we don't take the time to socialize. Either because we don't have, sometimes we don't have people around us that we have a lot in common with. Sometimes we feel different. Sometimes we just don't have a lot of things that, we don't want to talk about. But something like this, we can talk to other people like ourselves. Mm-hmm. Just like to say that the people on the call, do you know other highly sensitive people?
I know some. I can spot them now quite easily. and I'm also educating everybody about what being an HSP is. I tell people. I tell them about myself, all my friends and everything, and I tell them what it is. And by the way, Cliff, thank you for this. I really like your sensitivity, and I thought this was great tonight, and I would love to have a once-a-month evening like this.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. We can do maybe have a meetup in your area if you find it hard to go to in-person meetings.
Yeah, I live up in northern New Jersey in Wayne. And
okay.
I drive all over the place, but I can't drive at night right now. There's a problem
okay.
with my eyes.
Okay,
so.
I'm thinking that it's hard to get people together because of time constraints and just everything else, but I'm finding that if we have Sunday meetings, to have it like the early part of the afternoon.
Yes, Sundays are great.
That seems to be a good time. If anybody can think of times and places and, as I said, I just need help in trying to get things that, people would be interested in and also the logistics of where we can have it. Now, ideally, it should be a place where it's not too noisy, where we can have some privacy.
Yes, please. Please.
Okay, so sometimes a restaurant is not the best place unless there's a place where we can, that's kind of like set apart where we can actually talk. So the setting has to be right, too. The perfect setting that we've had for meetings is outdoors in the park. One of our members mentioned this park. It's called Colonial Park, and it turns out it's only about 20 minutes from where I live. And out of all the years that I've lived in where I live, I've never been there. It's only 20 minutes away.
No.
This place was great. This place was great. So anyway, it's taken me to places that are right in my backyard that I really haven't gone to. So any thoughts about that? Any thoughts about anything? If you have any suggestions on how we can, make things better, I'm really open to things like that because my intent is to really make this group as good as it can be. And I don't have all the answers. I admit that. So I really appreciate your feedback. And anything that we can do to improve, I'd really appreciate any thoughts on that. And as I said, I really appreciate if you can rate the meetup group because hopefully it's going to encourage other people to
come. Sure. Sure, Cliff.
Any other thoughts or any other questions?
No, I actually have to get going, but
thank
you.
Good.
I've certainly enjoyed, hearing what you had to say tonight, and others and the other people too. It's been very helpful.
Okay, very good. I'm glad you attended, and I really thank everybody that's on the call and everybody that's listening to the call. And we're going to be doing more of this. And as I said, as information comes out about different events, I'll be sending group emails out.
Thank you, Cliff.
Thank you very much. Happy
Thank
holidays.
You. Have a good night.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thank you. Happy
Thank
holidays
you
to everybody.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Thank you very much.